Very special welcome to anyone who's here for the first time this morning. It's really great to see you, and we do trust that you will really feel part of family. That's what we are. We believe church is family, and we believe that we know Father as a Father who's good, who's gracious, Father is all-loving, and that we are called as people to come into relationship with Him. He's not a distant God who is far away from us. He is a God who draws close to us. We come to that relationship with Him through faith in Jesus. The Bible tells us that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus and accept that He has given His life for us and carried the penalty for our failure and our sin upon Himself, that as a result of receiving Jesus as friend and as Savior, acknowledging that we need that forgiveness, recognizing that we are not perfect, but that Jesus has given us the opportunity through His sacrifice to come into that place where we can know that forgiveness and that cleansing that brings us into the place of relationship with Father in heaven, and where we know that not just for this life but for eternity we have been brought into a place where we can experience that tremendous sense of the power and the love and the wonder of God at work within our hearts and within our lives. And we over this year have been looking at the subject that we've called Fresh Fire. And the idea has been that we have wanted to look again at the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal church, and as a Pentecostal church we believe in the Holy Spirit's ministry. We believe in the power of the supernatural as the Holy Spirit moves amongst us. I, along with Simon, went away on Thursday to a theological application day. Basically it was a day in which there were one member of our national leadership team and a member of our Bible Theological College who were sharing with us teaching on the Holy Spirit. And it really was a tremendously beneficial day, but in some respects quite educational in the sense of some of the information that we were given. For instance, in one of the most up-to-date surveys which took place, where they identified where the greatest number of Pentecostals across seven countries were, they went and carried out a survey, and one of the questions they asked was how many of those Pentecostals moved in and used the gift of tongues. And the percentage that came back was 39%. The whole ministry of tongues, which very much was indicative of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in times that have gone past in the early 20th century, it seems that that is a gift that is beginning to dwindle and beginning to no longer be key in Pentecostal circles. And some of the other information that came through suggested that there was a real moving away from the recognition and understanding that as Pentecostals, as those who believe in the power of the supernatural, that there should be the supernatural expression and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. And as we've been looking at this subject, I've covered the subject of being fully functional. In other words, I've said that every one of us is called to be functioning in the ministry of God and in the work of God. We've looked at the subject of a manual for ministry. In other words, some of the things that Paul indicates that is necessary for us to understand how to flow in the ministry of the supernatural. And today I just want for a while to look at the release of God's resources. And I want to start at the outset by saying you are God's resources. You are God's resources. This is what the Apostle Paul writes, and I'm going to read first of all from the NIV. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and perfect and pleasing will. But then if we go on further into Romans 12 and reading from the Message, it goes on to say this: in this way we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way round. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvellously functioning parts in God's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Just that key phrase, let us go ahead and be what we were made to be. Maureen is quite excited at the moment because at the present time she has a number of items on eBay, and as you know, or some of you possibly don't, Maureen receives items that people give to her. She never ever buys anything, but they give these items to her and she will then sell them, and the money that she raises will either go to our missionary work for the various activities that we are engaged in worldwide, or it will go to the medical ministry in Bulgaria. A little while ago, some people gave to Maureen some musical instruments. The thing about these musical instruments was that they were very, very old. And she took them along to an expert who basically said, well, they're in a right old mess. They really are of no use as far as repairing is concerned, but you might get a bit for them as antique instruments. So she put them onto eBay, a starting figure of, Maureen, £9.50. At the present time, what is the most expensive quote or bid that you've got? £150 for the bassoon and rising fast. These musical instruments are attracting people from all over the world, and clearly from the number of watchers that there are on the instruments, they will clearly go for, I suspect, substantially more than is already being bid. But you know, as I was thinking about that whole scene and thinking about releasing God's resources, I just felt the Holy Spirit in one sense say to me, here is an illustration of what so often happens with people who are part of the church body. These musical instruments were belonging to someone who, when they moved house, they put them in the loft. And they stayed in the loft for the rest of that person's lifetime. The person died. And it was after their death that these instruments were then brought down from the loft and given to Maureen. And I felt the Holy Spirit just say to me, David, you know, there are some people who I have equipped and I have enabled and I have given gifts to, and what they have done, they have stored them in their spiritual loft. They have hidden them away. And there they have stayed, out of sight, out of mind, never fulfilling the purpose for which they were intended, never being able to accomplish that which they had been created for, never coming to the place where they could really become a blessing and a ministry to others. See, those musical instruments, they were never meant not to be used. They were meant to make a beautiful sound that would enable other people to be blessed and other people to reflect and to think how wonderful it was just to listen to them being beautifully played. And there are those within the church family who have, in one sense, spiritual musical instruments, spiritual gifts that God has given to them, and they have been given for a purpose in order that they might be a blessing to others. But those gifts have just been swept away, put into some spiritual cupboard somewhere, and are never brought out in order that they might be the blessing they're meant to be. That is why Paul says right at the outset that the whole purpose of you being called to be a follower of Jesus is in order that you might serve others. It's not just so you go to church. It's not just so that you come to worship. It's not just so that in one sense you go through some sort of ritual of religious actions. It's so that you can impact other people and reveal to them the love of Jesus and the recognition they can discover this amazing dynamic relationship that you've discovered. You are called to be people who are used within the kingdom. And one of the tragedies so often within the church in a general sense is that so much is done by so few. And here God is calling us, I believe, as we've looked at this subject of fresh fire, He's calling us as individuals to stand and be counted. There's a song that we sing, and we'll probably finish it with the song. It's, "Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord." It goes on to say God is looking for a people who is willing to be counted in His glorious victory. And today God is looking for people who are willing to serve and are willing to say, "I am prepared for the resources that are given to me to be released in order that others might be blessed." You see, as I think about the whole area of the supernatural gifts that God has given to us, I recognize it's far more than what we so often reflect or think is important. See, many of us are saying, "Lord, we want to see the miracles. We want to see the signs and wonders. We want to see the healings. And I would be amongst you in that." But it's interesting that at this particular day, one of the things that came out that really sort of impacted me was that the college lecturer took us to the passage in Ephesians where it talks about the fact, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." And he asked the question, "What happens when you are drunk with wine?" And the response we gave was, "You lose control." And he then asked the question, "What is in control?" And of course the response to that is, the wine is in control. He went on to say, well then in fact what Paul is saying is that instead of being under the control or influence of drink, you and I should be under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on to say, but then what does Paul say is the outworking of that? And if you look at Ephesians, you will find there's not one reference following that statement that refers to the supernatural. It refers to character. It refers to relationship. It refers to how we act within our homes. In other words, when we're thinking about the whole sense of being influenced and affected and ministered to and through the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize it's far more than just supernatural gifts. However, we do need to also experience and see the gifts of the supernatural at work within our hearts and lives. And I said last time that I spoke that we've got those inspirational gifts, the prophetic, the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge. You've got those miraculous gifts, miracles, discernment of spirits, faith. And you and I, we need to say, "Lord, we want to see as the church body those gifts being manifested amongst us." But how can that happen? Well, for you and for me, it begins with the willingness to surrender to the Holy Spirit. In other words, to say, "Holy Spirit, you have the right to rule in my heart and life." Again, he brought out to us the fact the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. Bible sometimes doesn't help us here because the Bible often talks about the Holy Spirit as fire or as water. But in fact, the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. He is God. And the Holy Spirit comes as a representative of the Godhead to come alongside us, to be our friend, to be our guide, to be our equipper, to be our enabler, to give us the opportunity to flow in those gifts. But we need to submit to Him. We need to surrender to Him. We need to allow Him to have the rule in our lives. If you and I want to move into the gifts and the resources that God has for us, we have to be sensitive to what He's saying. I wonder how many of you have ever been in that place where you've just felt something in your mind, a thought that's come, and it's been a thought to either do something or say something. It might be within the context of a church service. It might be in the context of speaking to a member of your family or a friend, and you just felt somehow that this is not just some ordinary thought, but your immediate response has been, "This is me. This is me." And you've discounted it. You've put it to one side. And yet sometimes that thought keeps coming back. What we need to learn is the Holy Spirit comes and speaks. And he does not, I'm afraid, speak to you and me with an audible voice like Dave Redbond does. He is not as loud as Dave Redbond. He is not as intrusive as Dave Redbond. He is compared in the Bible as a dove. In other words, he comes gently to you and he will drop a thought into your mind. And some of you have different ways of describing that. Kevin, he describes it as an itch. And I'm very happy that he gets spiritual itches. And you may well find that the Spirit will deal with you and speak to you in different ways. But don't discount what he's saying. Learn to be sensitive to him. Learn to be listening for him to speak to you. Sometimes, I don't know about you in your house, but sometimes I find that Maureen says to me, "You're not listening to me, are you?" Now, I don't know why she would come to that conclusion. The very fact that I might be looking at the television, or I might be stuck on the computer looking at what's going on there, or the fact that I might be, listening to some music, I've no idea. But there are those occasions when she will say something and I have not heard a blind word that she has said. If she's lucky, I might say, "Hey." If I'm lucky, she might repeat it. There again, she might tell me what she thinks about me not listening to her. And sometimes what we have to do, and it works on both sides. Can I say there are times when she doesn't listen to me? Isn't that right, Maureen? Yes, thank you for answering that question. But sometimes we have to say, "Are you listening?" Just to make sure that we are tuned in. Because it's very easy for us to get distracted. One of the things I find about being part of church family, I try to listen to people as they speak to me. But I have to make a confession here, so please forgive me for confessing this. But sometimes as people are talking to me, I catch a little sense of a conversation that's going somewhere else that triggers a sense of, "I wonder what it is they're saying." And if I'm not careful, I tune out of the one who's talking to me and tune in. And if I get this glazed look that comes across my eyes and this sense of, "I don't really think he's listening what I'm saying," just kick me in the shins. It'll bring me back into listening to you again. Do you know we do that with the Holy Spirit? He comes into our lives, not just on a Sunday when we're in church like this, but each day of the week, he comes along and he says, I just want to chat to you. I've got something I want to reveal to you." Maybe we're reading God's Word and the Holy Spirit just wants to illuminate something. See, we've been thinking, the ministry team particularly, been thinking about what the theme should be for 2013. I think I've got a sense of what it is now. But we've been saying, "Holy Spirit, will you speak to us? We want to listen to what you're saying." And so can I suggest that if you want to release God's resources that are within you and that have been given to you, that you start to listen. And part of the key to that is not just listen on Sunday, but each day. Maybe when you wake up, say, "Holy Spirit, have you got anything to say to me today? Help me to be in tune with what you're saying." Sensitive to him. You also, if you want to release God's resources through your lives, you will have to step out in faith. Two or three people have said to me that one of the things that God is very much speaking to them about at the moment is getting out the boat, and it's one of the areas that we will look at when we move into 2013. In fact, there is a book that is written by John Ortberg, which I'm at the present time reading, which says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out the boat. Can I say to you, you will not move in any area of the supernatural without the risk that comes with it. If you look at what it says in Romans 12, particularly in relationship to prophecy, it says, those who prophesy, prophesy according to your faith. Faith, I'm afraid, equals risk. The fact remains that you and I, if we're going to release the resources of God through our lives, we are going to have to take risk. We're going to have to take risk that we might get it wrong. We're going to have to take the risk that people might not think well of us. We'll have to take the risk that we might be criticized. We will have to take the risk that we will feel that somehow or other we have ended up being failures. But you know what? Failure can be turned into triumph. And although we so often center on Peter's failure, what we fail to recognize is Peter, at the end of his life, could have written, as far as his life story was concerned, I walked on water. The lot that stayed in the boat never had that experience. This morning, God is saying to some of you, you have got to start to take risk. If you want to be moving in the power and the ministry of healing, you need to start to begin to pray for people that they will be healed. Now, that is not, can I say, me giving you authority to start to go like a load of rampaging, out of control Christians through our communities, grabbing hold of every sick person that you see and say, I'm going to pray for you. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But what you also need to do, if that is how you feel that God is leading you, you need to say, Holy Spirit, will you enable me to begin to start to function in this area where I have this desire? So that when you meet with a friend or a family member or someone in the church and they say, I'm really unwell at this time, or they share something with you that really needs prayer, you say to them quite gently and carefully, would you mind if I pray for you? You don't say, I'm going to. You ask their permission, but a number of people may well say, yes, please pray for me. If you want to begin to move in the prophetic, you need to start to launch out in sharing the thoughts that God gives to you. That means it's, and we try to make it easy for you. What we say to you is, if you think that God's got a message he's giving you, come out and speak to one of the church ministers. They will test what you've got. So it's a lot easier than it was when I began to move in that whole area, because to a certain extent we were left to our own devices and you leapt and hoped. At least we can say to you, yeah, we feel you're right there, we get a sense this is in God. Or we can say, well, no, we think that at the moment that's not just quite right yet. And please, please, when you're taking this risk, when you're stepping out in faith, allow yourself to be guided and directed by the leadership. And not feel rejected if they say you haven't got it quite right. Our heart is to see the resources of God released through you. You see, we go on to recognize that what on one occasion happened was that God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? In stepping out in faith, we need to see what's in our hands. Often we can be so concentrating on what we haven't got that we fail to recognize what we have got. I've said before that we need to earnestly desire the best gifts, but you know, as part of what was said on Thursday, one of the things that I found quite interesting was that the lecturer suggested that the gifts that you're most interested in are the best gifts for you. And we will have different interests in different gifts. So what do you want to move in? What do you want God to use you in? What are your abilities and your talents? Because I've already said that it's not just relating to the supernatural. In fact, in Romans 12, you will find that there are other very practical gifts here. For instance, it talks about the gifts of encouragement. Are you an encourager? If you are, that is a gift. Use it. Be the best and the biggest encourager you can be. Go everywhere and encourage people. For some, it's serving. Service comes in all sorts of forms and ways. Can I say the people who do the refreshments are serving? The people who stand and welcome people in are doing serving. The people who come and share, serve communion and take up the offering are serving. The people who produce all the bulletin sheets are serving. The people who are involved in cleaning the church are serving. Administration is a gift there. If you are an administrator, don't complain about the fact that you are an administrator. Rejoice in the fact that you have been given an amazing ability. Because some of us struggle with administration. Some of us are pretty useless at it. But you see, all these gifts are resources given to you to be released in the kingdom of God. And what God is saying to some of you is, what have you got? What have you got? What you've got, begin to use. Release that resource. If you're a singer, sing. And sing to the glory of God. And can I say, if you are a singer and a worshipper, begin to ask God to enable you to sing and worship within the prophetic sphere. In other words, don't just sing because you've got that talent or ability, but let it be anointed singing. And the same applies for the musicians. Be anointed musicians. Be anointed servers. Be anointed administrators. Be anointed givers. Be anointed encouragers. And you will find that God will release the resources amongst you. See, we're called to have supernatural lifestyles, both in our character and as channels. And I believe that the key, and we're coming to the end of this fresh fire year, the key lies here. I believe that God is calling you and me as a church family to be supernatural in the way we live and in the things that we do. And to do that, we need to be saturated in the Holy Spirit's power and ministry. And so I charge you and I challenge you to, as you move into 2013, to release the resources God has given to you. Do not let them lie dormant in your spiritual loft. Do not shut them away in some dark cupboard, never to be brought out into the light of day. Do not come to the place where you think that you just haven't got the time or the energy or the feeling that you want to use them, and therefore you will just discard them. Let them come into a place where they're central in your life, where they're impacting and blessing others, where they're being used for the power and the glory of God. And for some of you, do not think that you've got to wait for some time in the future before that can happen. But begin to start to step out in expectation and in faith here and now, in a time when God wants to begin to take hold of you and move you on more than you've ever known into a destiny that you have no comprehension of, but which will be exceedingly more amazing than you could ever even begin to think of. And for some also, can I say, do not wait for others. Do not wait for others. I just sense that's a word for some here. Because in the waiting for others, instead of seeing those you are waiting for catching you up, you will in fact find that you will be slowed down to a point where you come to a standstill, and instead of them even then catching you up, they in fact will continue to stand at a distance from you. But it is in your progress, in your advancement, in your placing God first and central in your heart and in your life, in your willingness to acknowledge that His kingdom is first, in your willingness to recognize His sovereignty, in the willingness to recognize His kingship and His rule, that although as you advance, you may be thinking that you are leaving them behind, as the very result of your advancement, God will move through you and speak through you and reveal Himself to them through you, so that they will begin to be quickened and they will begin to get a sense of excitement and a recognition that they are being left behind, and they will want to move forward and begin to start to run after you, so that they indeed will indeed catch you up, and in partnership you will walk into the destiny together. May God bless you, and may we release God's resources through our lives. Father, I thank you for this church family, for all that they are in you. I thank you for every one of them as an individual, particularly and specially created by you. Each unique, each with their own abilities and gifts and talents, each of them able to move and experience the power of the supernatural. I pray that, Father, you will come and send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name upon each and every life, that each and every one of us will be those who know what it is to live and experience and move in the power of the supernatural. In Jesus' name, Amen.